In the name of Jesus, amen. You're not normal. I probably should clarify. That's not intended as a medical or psychological diagnosis. I'm not that kind of doctor, but you're not normal. That's not really a judgment, it's just a fact. And I can prove it. You who are sitting here this morning are definitely not normal, not a representative sample of Christians or of Lutheran Christians. Is it normal to be sitting in church on Thursday morning? But aside from that, there are a number of ways in which you are demonstrably not normal. Here are three. You who are gathered here this morning are more educated, more male, and more white than normal. Again, that's not a judgment, it's a description and a reminder that we need so that we can understand our place in the world and in the church. You and I are not normal because we have a lot more education than most people. Nationwide, a bit more than a third of American adults have a college degree. And that number is even lower in other parts of the world. But I'm pretty sure that ratio is a lot higher among us here. Now, having more education is not a bad thing, said a guy with a PhD. But education isn't the same as intelligence, and it's a much different thing from wisdom or worth or value. There's a temptation involved in education and having an abnormal amount of education. We might be tempted to simply assume that people with less education should just listen to us and do what we say. You aren't normal because as a group, you are much more male. Now that may sound odd, and of course, you are not a sample chosen at random from Lutheran Christians, but it is still worth remembering. The Pew Research Center studies this stuff. Of course they do. That's what they are. And they found out that there are more women than men in the Christian church. More women than men are Christians. That's not true in all religions, by the way, but it is true for Christians. About 55% of Protestant, of evangelical and mainline Protestants are women, and about 54% of Catholics. By the way, that's only 35% women among Muslims and about 38% women among Hindus. Women are more likely than men to believe in God, more likely to pray daily, more likely to say that religious faith is an important part of their lives, more likely to attend services weekly. Now, I'm not going to try to delve into all the possible implications of this data, but it does suggest that our particular male-heavy community here at the seminary is not the norm of Christian congregations. You're not normal. You're not normal in terms of ethnicity either. What do you think a normal Christian looks like? A century ago, 8 out of 10 Christians in the world lived in Europe and North America. Today, almost two-thirds of Christians are in what's called the Global South, Asia, Africa, Latin America. A century ago, it seemed normal for the gospel to move from the rich to the poor, from the educated to the ignorant, from the powerful to the weak, from white people to people of color. Today, most Christians in the world are not well-educated white Westerners in the suburbs. Over 60% of Christians live in the global South, and the normal way the gospel is moving is from everywhere to everywhere. That's normal. The bottom line is that in many ways, you and I are simply not normal. In fact, I'm not exaggerating when I say that statistically and worldwide, a normal Lutheran Christian is poor, brown, and female. Now, I go into that picture a little bit to help you picture in your heads the great multitude that no one could count, the teeming mass that John saw in our text today. That's the church as it is and as it will be. In other words, the church that Jesus is gathering for himself, around himself. And just because they're dressed in white doesn't mean they are white. Trust me, there are a lot of people in that crowd who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, who don't smell like you, who don't sing and celebrate and dance like you. Every nationality, every tribe, every ethnic group, every race, every language, all together. All in the presence of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the whole variegated, glittering, chaotic, kaleidoscopic world of races and lingos and cultures, all praising him. You and I may not be normal, but we belong there too. As a matter of fact, if you and I give up the idea that we are somehow the standard model of Jesus followers, we can start really loving and expecting and embracing a church that looks a little more like Revelation 7, verse 9, even now, even here. And let me tell you something about that motley, boisterous crowd of Jesus praising sinners in Revelation 7, verse 9. They're not normal either. None of them. Christians are a peculiar people in more than one sense of that world. It is not normal for human beings to admit in front of God and everybody that they are sinners and to give up trying to save themselves, but that's exactly who we are. That's exactly what we confess. It's not normal for human beings to live a life liberated from guilt and to let forgiveness and grace and gratitude spill over into the way we bump up against other people day by day. But that's the not normal life that Jesus gives us. Not just in some indefinite heavenly future, but also here and now. It's not normal to overcome divisions of race and culture and language and to embrace people of other tribes, strangers to us, But that is exactly the church that Jesus is making and fitting us into by his Spirit. Our not normalness, abnormality, I was going to use the word abnormality, that doesn't sound like the right word, but our not normalness is a reason for gratitude and for praise. Thank God we aren't normal. Thanks be to Jesus who poured out extraordinary grace and called us to be his very own peculiar people. Glory to the Creator who makes and loves people in all shapes and sizes and colors. The 19th century Jesuit poet Gerard Manley Hopkins penned this praise in words we can welcome and echo. He writes, "Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled who knows how with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle dim. He fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him." Not bad for a Jesuit. God loves his dappled creation, and Jesus loves his fickle, freckled church. And so do we. Praise him. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.